We're talking with New York City actor Andy Lucian, who is a guest artist this summer at the Chautauqua Institution, playing the role of Sly in the play Detroit 67. One of the big moments for me came not during the play, but afterwards at the talkback, when a story revealed that the images which are projected on the back of the stage, sort of in between scenes, of what we thought were the Detroit riots were initially, but then later on, they became images that were Ferguson. I can't speak for everybody, but I'm pretty sure everyone in the audience just had this overwhelming feeling of, oh my God, has nothing changed? You know, is this going to go on forever? Did you guys talk about that, or, you know, how do you feel about that?
I think one of the things that I had mentioned, and I keep going back to it, is there are moments where working on this play, I forgot it was set in 1967. The things that brought me back to remember that it was is we'll talk about an 8-track, or we'll talk about an artist who isn't like making a number one hit today, and that'll bring me back. But it certainly came up that a lot of these things have become reoccurring images throughout our, and 50 years later, it's almost like we're right back there. I don't think that that means that nothing has improved, because it certainly has. Yesterday, we had two audience members at the talkback reveal that one was deployed to Detroit during the Detroit Rebellion in 1967. During this period, he was one of the military members who was deployed to reestablish peace. And another audience member said that he was going to be deployed. And the audience member who hadn't been deployed, he came up to us afterwards, and when we were alone, he was just like, you know, I know that there's still some stuff to go, but at least it's gotten better. And the thing that I took from that is, like, I think he realizes that a lot of these issues have come back up, but I think he literally means the fact that we had white and black people in a theater is something that in 1967 would have been way more contentious than it is now. So I think that, yes, there have literally been improvements, but I think that what's ended up being so sad is that a lot of these problems have become institutionalized. A lot of these problems have become deeper rooted, and they've kind of snuck into housing. They've snuck into things that have happened, such as redlining, giving out loans at banks. All of these different things have become so ingrained in our culture. And since they stopped being so obvious, if you're not vigilant, it seemed like they were going away. Until recently, we're starting to see this uptick. Like, we're starting to see this uptick in hate crime. We're starting to see this uptick in these police-involved incidents that are happening with a lot of citizens who are now terrified of traffic stops. So it is so relevant. We talked about that all the time, and it's something that we have to stay vigilant about and have to work toward a solution, because this is something that affects everybody. This is not just something that just affects a certain portion of the population. If black lives are in danger, I think that that's a threat to our entire country, because we are one fabric. You know, I think that these states make up one union, and it's a beautiful union. However, we do have to keep fighting to make sure that everybody can feel as though they can walk the street, or that they matter. It's not when someone says Black Lives Matter, it's not like they're saying Black Lives Matter only. They're saying Black Lives Matter as well. And that's, I don't see how that's a threat to anybody. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, kind of like, I think everybody just wants to feel that they are protected the same way as everybody else. And that's something that was prevalent in 1967. And unfortunately, it's still a thing that's prevalent in 2017.
We're talking with Andy Lucian. He's an actor currently down at Chautauqua, where at the Breton Theater, they're putting on a play called Detroit 67. And it's set during one week of 1967 in Motown, and the music of the Temptations and the Four Tops certainly very much a part of the play by Dominic Morso. And in the play, we meet Shell and her brother Lank. They're trying to put together a little after-hours business. Their friend, Sly, played by Andy Lucien, whom with whom we speak. He's a friend of Lank, and he, like Lank, has big dreams. There's a mutual friend named Bunny, who is sort of a comic relief and just adds a little humanity to what could be really otherwise pretty pretty stressful situation. And then there's this white woman named Caroline, who comes in and brings the outside world and not always in a good way. So there's so many themes going on. And throughout the play, images of, now I'm going to use the word Detroit riots, play against the backdrop, play against the stage, which is very cleverly designed. I noticed during the talkback, the actors didn't use the word riot. They used the word rebellion or...
Yeah.
Okay, so...
That was a conscious thing.
And in the playbill that's handed out, there is a timeline, and the title of which is 6 Days in July, Riot or Rebellion. So the conscious decision, what was the discussion?
The discussion was discussing what a riot is versus a rebellion. Most of us had gone to schools with big sports programs. And we sometimes live in states with big sports teams. Oftentimes, when those teams win as a result of victory and joy, oftentimes there's a lot of collateral damage. Sometimes cars are flipped over in celebration. We think of that more as a riot. You know what I mean? Kind of like this disorganized chaos, what's happening? We're just kind of destroying things for the sake of destroying things. However, as we were discussing, and I think that this is a discussion that's happening in Detroit, in many different areas, whether it's Ferguson, in discussing whether it goes back as far as the Haitian Revolution, just kind of thinking of having this reason, having this, it's a circumstance of what's pushed on the people, because oftentimes we look at people who will tear apart their own neighborhoods or tear apart all these different things, and we say, why? And it seems at times we're more upset about the fact that they caused collateral damage than the conditions that caused them to feel as though they had absolutely no other option but to take arms against the only thing that they had within their reach. And that's where, as we were discussing that, it's just like, no, they're rebelling against the cause. They're rebelling against the oppressive force that they felt the police put on them during this time in 1967. And the same thing in Ferguson or in Baltimore's Freddie Gray or all of these different things, which you're starting to see as a rebellion against these things. It's saying no to a specific oppressive force as opposed to more of a frivolous nature. I think there was some sort of, I can't remember exactly, but I remember some sort of pumpkin patch like riot a couple years ago where like people who were coming to like this pumpkin festival just started destroying pumpkins just to destroy them. It wasn't like there was some sort of force, like they weren't like rebelling against how pumpkins are misused, or they weren't like kind of like coming back as like, oh, I feel like, you know, pumpkins are an oppressor. It wasn't like that. It was just creating chaos to create chaos, as opposed to people who are trying to draw attention to a horrible situation and trying to affect change, but have gotten to a point where they're so, they just feel so helpless that they just strike back. Martin Luther King Jr. said once, he said, a riot is the language of the unheard. So I'm just still wondering, at what point will we listen, or why won't we listen to these people, if that makes sense?
It makes tremendous sense. I know, and thanks for the explanation, and also thanks for, I noticed you incorporated a little bit of the language of the Declaration of Independence when you were explaining.
I didn't even notice.
I like it. We're talking with New York City actor Andy Lucien, who is a guest artist this summer at the Chautauqua Institution, playing the role of Sly in the play Detroit 67. Elsewhere, Andy will be talking about the play and his personal experiences.